Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, everyone, welcome back to this episode of This Dude Started Something. Today we have a guest who's done it all. He's a rapper, he's a producer, he's an entrepreneur, and the man behind a viral anthem that had everyone hitting the dance floor.
That's right. You know him from the hit song WAP, and that's W-O-P. But there's way more to his story than just a dance craze. From classical piano to breaking records and getting his computer science degree from the University of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one and the only.
Hey, listen, you did that amazingly well. I'm going to have to put you on the record next time.
That's awesome. Sometimes I'll just be in my bathroom, like getting ready for bed, and sometimes your producer tag pops in my head. Like, it's so random. Like, this is another J-Dash production.
Hey, you know what I mean? It's crazy. I appreciate y'all for having me, man. This is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, thanks for joining us, bro.
Yeah. All right, so for our listeners out there, let's just kind of get started. Go back to day one. Rumor has it that at the age of 5, you learned to play the piano by ear. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was listening to my sister who was playing. She had lessons and stuff. And I was like, man, you're not playing Beethoven's Fifth right. And so I hopped up on the piano. I was like, you need to do it like this.
What?
And so I started learning at like 5 years old how to like reproduce sounds with the piano. And then it went from there, man. That was the origin story.
That is crazy. What?
So you're basically like a prodigy, right?
You know, people have said that word. I don't put that word on myself, man. It's like, okay. I've seen some prodigies and I'm like, I don't know about prodigy, man. But I did learn to play by ear at a really young age. And then I did not come from like a musical family. And so I got to go on this cool genre discovery journey of my own. And so like, I got into like blues and jazz music really early. And so I was playing in bands, like as a blues piano player at like 10 years old. And so I'd be in like these super smoky blues bars. Like I probably shouldn't have been there, but it was a blast. And then, you know, got to go play on Beale Street when I was like 12 or something like that in Memphis. Met a lot of really dope people and then got into music production after that. So that's when I really started getting into like hip hop, pop, R&B, you know, kind of genres, and then started a company when I was 19.
Wow. So you were on the keys in the blues band?
Yeah.
Dang.
That's so crazy, bro. Yeah, who let you in there, bro? Like, man, titles have
changed. They booked the band. Dude. It was like a whole bunch of kids. And what's crazy is the kids that I was playing with, they all are like still doing music and scoring film and doing all that stuff at this point. So it's just, we all went on really cool journeys after that.
Yeah, and you've done some film scoring as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Shout out to the movie 83 Days. It's about George Stinney Jr., who was the youngest person in America to be put to death by the electric chair. He was 14 years old.
Oh, my God.
And so I got to score that short film, which was amazing. Won a lot of awards. One was the best score. And so shout out to Andrew Howell, the director. But that was like my first foray into film scoring, for sure.
Dang.
Wow, dude, that's dang, dude. I feel like you do like all your work. I feel like it's for like a greater like purpose. You know, that's a very like purposeful film. I feel like to be, there must have been a lot of inspiring things like while you were making that. you know, score happen. Man.
What's crazy is I scored that film with Ryan Slate, who was in the original band that I played in when I was a kid.
What? So you guys reconnected?
Yeah. Yeah, we reconnected to score that film.
Oh, that's sick.
And what's really cool about film scoring is like you're actually controlling the emotions of what people are seeing. Because when you really think about it, like you don't even know what to feel until the music tells you what to feel, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to work with the director and like actually set the, you know, emotional direction of different scenes, man, that's like, there's nothing like it. Like I've done a lot of sync licensing, meaning I put my music in TV, but that's like you make a record and then you hear it on TV, right?
Make it specific, yeah.
Exactly. Like when you're building that score from scratch, man, there's no feeling like
oh, dude, that's true. Like you could watch The Notebook and you'd think it's a comedy if there wasn't music in it, you know? Or like The Titanic or something.
It's like my wife's favorite film. I'm going to tell her that tonight.
Oh, dude, it's so good, bro.
It is good. Like, it's filmed here, yeah.
Yeah, filmed in Charleston. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. But yeah, that's really cool. So, so as far as, I don't know, I heard that the inspiration for the for WAP came from like just dance. Like it started out like you guys created the dance first and then you went in the studio. That was probably like, was that one of the more fun projects you had where it was just kind of like, I don't know, messing around? Or was there like a purpose behind that too? Like, I don't know, what was the inspiration behind that song?
Man, that was one of the quickest songs I've ever made in my life. Just because like we, again, it started with the dance first. And so we would do the dance in the club. And then everybody wanted to do the dance with us, right? And so we knew the dance had legs. Like, we knew the dance was going to go viral. So it was like, Feleezy was like, yo, bro, you definitely need to make a song for this. So I went back to my college apartment at UF, and I made the beat for the WAP.
Like, you made it in like an hour. Dude, that's so crazy.
Like, how old were you at this time?
Oh, dude, we made WAP when I was 20. 18, 20.
Oh my goodness, man. I gotta do something with my life, bro. dang, dude, that's legendary, bro. So wait, as far as the instrumental goes, like what do you remember which part was first? Like as like with the beat? Like where'd you start with the beat?
With the beat? I started with the strings, man.
Yeah,
that first sound that you hear when WAP comes in, that was what I started with.
Okay. Yeah, that's like that's like the rhythm behind it.
Yeah, man. So I did that. It was, and I made it in GarageBand because I couldn't like. It came with the MacBook, and I couldn't afford anything else at the time. So yeah, I made.
That's a crazy
originally. Yeah,
that's a crazy point right there. Is like, and that's such great inspiration to all of our listeners out there and people that want to create music. It's like you can have 100 million streams from something that was originally done on GarageBand.
GarageBand.
That's crazy
for sure. For sure. Shout out to T-Pain, too, because he does a lot with not much. I think he made Bartender, like the music for Bartender on GarageBand. Like, that cat is an amazing producer. Shout out to Payne.
But Well, he, like, create Auto-Tune as well?
He did not create Auto-Tune, but he definitely That's popularized true. It as an artist. But he heard, I think, was it J-Lo? I forgot who he said he heard use it first, and he was like, he went and on a path of discovery to figure out what that plugin was. Uh-huh. And then but the thing about Payne is he's always been able to like really sing. And so he knew how to freak auto-tune in a way that was just like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds amazing. So when he dropped I'm Sprung, it was over.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Dude, it is crazy. A lot of people don't like realize he has a good voice. I saw a video of him with no auto-tune. It was like, what? Like, that's crazy. It sounded amazing. It sounded like an angel.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature, for sure.
That's pretty crazy, man. What do you think your biggest skill is as far as music goes?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, bringing the future into now. And I think that's probably the skill of not just great musicians, but great entrepreneurs, is like hearing what the future is, like seeing what it could be, and then like bringing it into the present. And so I think that's one of my skills in music is like being able to, and especially producing an artist, it's being able to listen to, okay, here's what your raw talent is, but how do we like mix and cook that and make that the actual end result? Not just that what you want, but the thing that you can't even see yet. And so it's that living in the future and bringing it back to the present is probably my greatest skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's true, man. Because like WAP sounds like kind of like something, like it mixes in so well with like music now that's coming out now.
For sure. You know what I mean? It's still so popular now. I mean, we just looked on TikTok, and TikTok has not been around that long. It has 63,000 videos done to the original sound WAP. That's not even considering all the other slow or like reverb versions. Like,
yeah,
it's just the original 63,000. That's crazy.
That's insane, yeah. Dude.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, how do you think like it would have changed as far as like promoting that song and your other music as well? How do you think it would have changed if you would have made it today and like TikTok's around? Do you think it would have been easier to like get it out there?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if it would have been easier because it's kind of the same tactic now mm-hmm. that I had back then. So back when I dropped WAP originally, it was like all YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was me and like Soulja Boy was like really a lot of the main cats that was out there just pushing music on YouTube. Originally, when I made WAP, I was like, this is not for me. This is for like everyone. I wanted it to be the people's song. And mm-hmm. so I had some girls that used to like dance for me when I would perform. Their name was Fusion. I was like, hey, can y'all record yourselves dancing to the WAP? And they were like, yeah. So they recorded themselves dancing in like their apartment, you know what I'm saying, the apartment complex or whatever. And that was the first video that went viral. We dropped that video. It had 500,000 views in like 3 months. Oh, and so dang, we were like, dang. Yo, this is crazy.
That's a pimp move, dude.
Yeah. And so then it encouraged everybody else to like upload videos of themselves doing mm-hmm. it. And that's what I wanted. That was the plan the yeah. whole time. It's like, I want people, because I didn't have a marketing budget, bro. Like I didn't have yeah. a bunch of money. I can't pay people. I can't pay influencers. That wasn't a thing. And so it was just like, how do I get people, like other people to do it? Well, best way I knew how was like, don't do it yourself. You got to make it seem like other people are already doing it, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. that tactic made other people want to upload their videos. Yeah, I didn't upload a video of me doing the WAP for like a year. It was
yeah,
like
true.
Because
it's like, somebody sees like, dude, this is just WAPing in his garage. Like this dude's like a weirdo. Like,
yeah, but yeah, it was like, I mean, you want to promote things that way. Like, you know, to show yeah. like I'm doing it first or whatever, you want to be the one. But I was never like that. I was like, mm-hmm. it should be everybody else's.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I heard a rumor that Miley Cyrus was twerking to WAP. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. That's no rumor. It was on Good Morning
America. True? What? Yeah. And she's even really like, I mean, to twerk Miley Cyrus.
Must have been a generational twerk if it made it on Good Morning America.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That was like the first twerk, and she doesn't really have like a butt or anything, too. Like, WAP is giving people butts, you know? Like, that's insane.
You know, that's going to be the new tagline of the song now. Just gave you the new promotion tagline. WAP, it gives you a butt, for sure.
That's good.
No, Miley, first of all, shout out to Miley Cyrus. She hit me on Twitter and just shouting me out and was just like, man, I love the WAP. It's a great song, whatever. And I was like, thank you. We, you know, kept in contact for a little bit. I thought that was it. Like, I was just appreciating the love and the shout out. And then the next morning, I see this video is going viral of Miley twerking in a unicorn onesie to the WAP. And I was like, oh, man, this is nuts. So by that point, we already went gold, like just on like the muscle, just off of us pushing the song. But when Miley dropped that video, I went platinum in a month.
Dude,
crazy.
Which means like over 1 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 1 million sold.
1 million.
In a month? Isn't it double plat now?
I think on a single. Or
it's,
well,
it's
is
double plat
is WAP
now,
a single? Like,
yes.
Was it? Okay. So it was like 2 million then, I think. Or maybe they changed that. But now it's like 2 million.
It's officially on RIAA. If you look at the website today, it's 2 million. That will change very soon.
Dang.
Okay, dude. That's yeah. insane in a month. Like, just the fact that somebody has, like Miley to be able to, like, post that. It's just one video, and it just goes crazy, and it, like, changes
That's
everything.
It's power, bro. It's power. Yeah. I think what it's, to me, what opened my eyes to, like, influencers. Now that's it's common knowledge. Like, oh, if you want to get your product out there, you find your influencers for mm-hmm. your people. But now, like back then, that wasn't happening like that.
So yeah.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, like the YouTube era too. Like you were having all these videos dropped on YouTube. People were posting on YouTube about it. Like that's crazy. Like now it's all like TikTok. Like, oh, like just making TikTok with the sound. But doing it on YouTube, like it's so much more official that way, it seems almost.
For sure. Do you know what I just noticed? Y'all, what? You put your name as O-dash and B-dash on the
Yeah, man. No, yeah,
oh, that's yeah, amazing. Like... So now we're like J-O-B. We got to start a boy band now.
Oh, yeah. Job, yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, that's man. Hilarious. And I realized that like you don't have a dash in your name, so like we're technically I'm B dash dash, which is kind of doesn't flow as well. So I might need to change that before we release a record.
Where did J dash come from?
That was just when I was like learning production. I didn't have any of my own equipment, and so like this cat used to have like a studio in his pool house back home. I was in Jacksonville, that's my hometown, and so. Whenever I got time and he would let me use his equipment, I would go in there and I would get busy. Like I was like using the MPC. I'm like figuring stuff out and I was making music so fast. He started calling me J Dash and the name stuck.
That's cool.
Okay, dude. Yeah. It is very ringy.
Yeah. Appreciate that, man. It's one of those things that it's like, you don't give yourself the name and it just doesn't go away. You're like, fine. That's what it is now.
Yeah. It's almost better when other people call you. Like, I feel like you kind of get in your head about like, your name, like if I picked my name when I was born, I would be so, every week I'd be like, dang, I should probably switch it up. You know what I mean?
You know, if I picked it when I was young, I'd be Megatron for sure.
Oh, that's sick.
That's such a good take, yeah.
I'd be Mega Dong, bro.
That'd be tough. Could you imagine being in fifth grade and teacher taking the role? Mega Dong.
Here.
Dude, everybody like here.
I'm always here.
So I had a question. So at what point, I was thinking about how like, okay, Miley Cyrus like makes a video, blows up. Was that the point that you realized like, dang, like I'm blowing up or like I'm mixed in, I'm in it. Or like at what point were you like, dang, I'm really in the industry right now. This could go crazy.
Great question. I didn't feel like I was much of anything until I was at work. So I had a regular job in technology after I graduated with a computer engineering degree from UF. I was working for a company in downtown Jacksonville. And then I was in USA Today as the artist on The Verge. And at that point, nobody knew I did music all. Like I completely separated the worlds. And so then people looked in the newspaper like, yo, I know this dude. And so... like people started bringing their kids to the office to like get autographs and stuff. It got weird for a second. I was like, oh, yeah. Shoot. That was the moment I was like, oh man, this is bigger than I thought it was, right?
Yeah.
And I used to love like going out and doing shows, you know, and then coming back and going to work. Cause to me, I'm like, I'm getting two checks, which is amazing. Yeah. But it was like this like Bruce Batman. Wayne.
Yeah.
Yes, come on now. It was like this Bruce Wayne Batman thing I was doing that was really dope. Like I wrote an app to like cycle servers on my phone. And so I would be like in Oklahoma about to hop on stage and have a microphone in one hand and then a phone in the other hand. And, you know, I'd be like on call and it's 1 a.m. and, you know, oh, this server needs to be cycled. All right, how's it look now? It's good? All right, talk to you later. Oklahoma, what it is? It's your boy. And like, just right on the stage, dude. Yeah. It was nuts.
Dang. Crazy, dude. So what is your job? You're like the tech guy at a company or what?
Yeah. I was like a systems administrator at CSX Railroad.
That's crazy.
That is so cool, dude. Did anybody like start treating you different after they realized?
You know, not really, to be honest with you. Like, I would say, Yeah, I think some people get like that. Oh man, it's so cool that I know this person, and so they do that thing where they like introduce you to their people because they're like, "Oh, it's cool," and you do this thing. That's so, to me, that's just pride. That's not treating me differently. That's just like showing pride in what I do, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, true.
But nah, I don't really feel like I got treated any differently by at least the people that I kept close to me.
Yeah.
So you know, shout out to my network because they're awesome.
Yeah, that would be because you already built a connection with them. So it's like, you know, it's not, it shouldn't change. You know what I mean?
But you know why that happens though? Like when people start to feel like you change, because you should. And I think over that period of time, I've changed probably a dozen times. But it's really about who you keep around you and making sure that they're not looking for something from you that mm-hmm. you're not willing to provide. Right.
Yeah.
So when you start to be successful, you'll have people around you that are like, oh, shoot, you got money now. Can you pay my bills? And I don't have anybody around me like that, right?
Yeah.
So nobody's looking for me to like take care of anything financially for them. And as much as I would probably do it because they're my people, the fact that they never have to ask, that just, you know, makes the relationship easier, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, like, your wife and kids though, probably an exception. Or do you have any kids or no?
Yeah, I got three of them things.
Oh, dang. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. What are they taking after dad and they rapping or what are they doing?
You know, my eldest daughter loves to be on stage and has since she was like three. So I used to like bring her out to shows and stuff. And I was I remember I was doing a halftime show for the Orlando Magic. And so they gave her like an outfit and she got to dance with the Magic cheerleaders. And she was just like, from then on, I want to be on stage like dad. And she is like in musical theater. She gets paid to be in plays. She is like out there. And so I'm super proud of her. But she's never really had a fear of getting on stage. So I think it's just because she was exposed. The other two, they're like, we're good on that. Let y'all do what you want to do.
They're just playing Fortnite or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude. To get paid, dude, I feel like getting paid to do a play, like that must be a crazy league. Like that's got to be like the NFL of plays or something.
Usually you
got to pay to be in the play. I feel like that's how it was for me when I did Cinderella.
Which role did you play?
Cinderella.
Villager 3.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I had like one line. We're going to the ball. It was sick. Yeah, it was cool. But I hit the WAP mid performance. At the ball, dude. I was in the WAP.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. I need footage. Yeah. You got to cut in some footage right now.
I got
to the ball.
Yeah, man. Oliver, you got something? I feel like I keep cutting you off. My bad, bro.
You're good. I was going to go back to whenever you were 19, you said you started a company, but you didn't really tell us much about that. We kind of already said you were an entrepreneur, but tell us about that company when you were 19.
Yeah. So at 19, I started Slapdash Productions. It's like a boutique music production firm. And that's when I started doing a lot of the sync licensing and putting music on TV. You can go to like j-music.com right now and you can see kind of all the stuff that we work on. And, you know, it's everything from putting music in TV, music in film, working with artists, doing commercial work, corporate work, you know, anything music related or entertainment related, we're into. So,
dang.
Yeah, so that's been the company I've been with for forever that I started when I was 19. And now I do a lot of like advocacy work through that company as well now. So I go to Washington, D.C. every year and talk to like congressmen and senators about funding music education around the country. And so I partner with the NAMM Foundation for that. But yeah, man, just keep building stuff.
That's awesome.
That's cool. I think I saw something on your Instagram, like you were standing in front of George Washington, like a George Washington painting, I'm pretty sure. I think.
Yeah, that was actually, I was speaking at the Mansfield Room in the Capitol. A bunch of music people, a bunch of senators, and basically telling them why it's important to fund the arts. I actually did a podcast interview with the National Endowment for the Arts. So yeah, man, I'm super bullish on making sure that kids have access to a quality education that includes arts and music. So shout out to NAMM and the NAMM Foundation for putting me onto that, because I have been going back ever since.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Is it like nerve-wracking talking to like senators and stuff?
Not at all. Honestly, it's surprising when they're actually in the office, because when you're in like on the Hill and you're walking around those offices, you realize that our country is mostly run by 22-year-old staffers, right? And that's because they know like what's going on for each individual issue. So that's usually who you actually want to talk to. But every now and then you'll get like the actual politician that comes and like sits in here is what you got to say. But there's like so many things going on in the world, right? Like you're sitting at a table and you got your, like I'm lobbying for music ed, and I got a woman who just lost her husband to an IED in Afghanistan or something like that. And it's just like, sometimes you feel like, oh, is my thing like really small in comparison to that thing? And it's like, no, this is the thing that's important to me. The person that represents all of the people in my state should hear about this thing that's really important. So that way, when it comes time to vote and legislate on that thing, they have, you know, all the information to make the right decision. So that's why we're there. Like the first time I went, and as a Texan, cause I'm in Austin, walked into Ted Cruz's office and he comes and sits down at the table. And then like, we're sitting there talking about music education. And it's like, you know, it's a very bipartisan issue. Like everybody's like, yeah, I love arts, I love music. But when it comes down to like actually funding it, it becomes a, you know, a different topic and a different thing. So when we started like with ESSA, there was like $0 going to, you know, ESSA, even though they committed to $1.6 billion. But over a couple of years, we ended up actually getting it funded to at least $1.3 billion. Oh, wow. Last I heard. So
and what do you think is taken away from that in the education realm? Like what's kind of bleeding that money from the arts?
It's funding. I mean, like,
but is that funding going somewhere else is what I'm saying? Or,
oh yeah, like if you look at the national budgets, like the things that are actually going to schools for arts, like money going for arts is a lot less, and they'll just, you know, repurpose that money for whatever is most important to that administration at the time, right?
Right.
And so it's just when it comes time for appropriations, that's usually what that is like determining what money goes where. Like a lot of arts budgets get cut. That means a lot of the art teachers get cut. So if you go into a lot of disadvantaged neighborhoods now, there'll be one music teacher shared between 3 to 5 schools.
Oh, wow. And they got to rotate like to different schools, yeah, and stuff? Dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's shown that like arts helps with, you know, math and science and testing, like standardized, yeah, testing. Like it helps with all of those things. And there's so many studies out there that show it, but those are usually the first programs to get cut.
That's messed up, dude. Because like every kid like enjoys it too. Like that's like what I look forward to the most when I was like back in school, was like music class and art and all that. Like, yeah. And you're right. Yeah, there's so many like statistics that show like it helps the studies as well, you know?
For sure.
It's dang, man. Like what is the funding going to? Like new floors or something? Like,
I couldn't tell you exactly dollar for dollar where they're going, but like, you know, we know it's not coming to music. So
yeah. So you met Ted Cruz. He's big time. You know what I mean? Who's some other people that you've met like that are maybe like inspirations to you? I know you met Timbaland. Have you worked with him before?
I have never worked with Timbaland. He is probably the reason I make hip hop music, for sure.
Yeah.
As a producer, like I heard Up Jumps to Boogie and I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want to do it for the rest of my life now. And Timbaland's the reason for that. So I've actually met Timbaland on 3 different occasions. The first 2, I'm sure he doesn't remember. The 3rd one, he probably forgot by now. So, nah, he's awesome. He's great. He is constantly pouring game into people. What I really loved about meeting Timbaland is watching him like scan the room and be like, who is that? Like, they don't have to be a big artist or anything, and then be like, what you got going on? You got the right look. Let me hear your sound. And like, it's constantly looking for new artists and new sounds, which it was inspiring to me, because it's like, you know, it doesn't matter how big you are. Like, Timbaland has sold, you know, tens of millions of records.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I don't know how many it is now, but like he's constantly looking for that next thing, which goes back to like living in the future and kind of bringing it back to the present.
Yeah, I've seen I actually follow his TikTok. He does like lives like all the time where he's like playing artists' music and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, giving him advice and all that. He seems like a funny dude as well.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got so many hits, bro. Like yeah, I don't know. I went to a Justin Timberlake concert this year, and like all the songs hit different because of like Timbaland's producing. I feel like, you know what I mean.
He's I don't know, man. He just gets it. Just gets it. Like Kanye will tell you, like the Power song, how many times he had to do the drums for that song, and it just wasn't right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then like you go to Timbaland, and he's like, he did it in 5 minutes, and then spent the rest of the time talking about how nobody else could have done it. Like, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's so many like different things. Like, there's so many producers out there, and there, I feel like there always has been. Like, what was the competition like when you like first started? Was it like kind of hard to compete with other producers, or was it like more of a collaboration type thing?
You know, the hardest part is not just like, oh, there's a competition in terms of production. Like, do you know how many artists there are? Like, many songs released, and I think the more artists get into like releasing music, the more they realize that they need good producers, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's just too much work. There's a lot of work out there.
That's true.
Yeah. So I don't ever see myself as like, oh, I'm trying to compete with these other producers. It's like, now I'm trying to figure out what it is that I actually want and then like just going to get it. Because that's the way the universe is. You just got to go pick it up.
Yep.
But you can't do that if you don't know what you want.
Yeah, we were talking about it with the Mowgli's. We had the band the Mowgli's on the other day, and it's 3,000 new artists a day, which is just insane. 3,000.
Exactly. 3,000 new artists, and most of them will get zero plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On Spotify.
Except for maybe their mom or something. Right. But yeah, like, and it's so easy to release music now, too. I mean, SoundCloud, you can get it on Spotify pretty easy, too. It's
TikTok,
like,
yeah.
Which is cool. I like that because it's like it gives you everybody a platform to release their creations and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I was listening to your like discovery, and the song Drugged came on, and I'm curious, is that like a true story? Did you get roofied?
Pieces of the story have are rooted in some facts. Yeah. And that was back in the time when I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't do any of that. And so it was like, you know, I had an experience that inspired the song.
Yeah. No, I was listening. I was scared for you, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shoot, dude. I hope he doesn't wake up in a warehouse, bro.
Yeah, man. We've had some wild nights. Definitely, if you're listening, go check out Drugged.
And, man.
Comment and let me know what you think.
Mm-hmm. What's like your favorite song you've ever made?
That's always the absolute worst question to ask because I have no idea. That's like asking, like, if you're a parent, like, who's your favorite child? Because it's like once you, like, every song you feel like has its place. It's like a kid, like, and you're equally proud of it where it's going because it's like it came out of your brain. Like, it's nuts. So I don't necessarily have a favorite song, you know. It's easy to be like the one that my kids will eat off of forever, which is, you know, the WAP has done amazing things. But like, dude, I've made songs for film that I'm like, that's the most expressive and emotional thing that I've ever made. And I love it for that, right?
Yeah.
I did a song with Carlito, who is an actor now. It's called Tabloid Truth, and it's a super deep one that I really enjoy. And the guy that did the lyric video, if you go look at it on YouTube for Tabloid Truth, his name is Kurt, and Kurt is no longer with us. And so, you know, that has a special meaning for me as well, because Kurt used to do everything digital for me. Kurt did, and now he's he passed away a while ago. So, you know, some of that stuff rings special to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For those reasons.
Yeah. What kind of feelings do you get when you? I mean, it's probably another one of those questions that kind of sucks. But like when you listen to let's say like WAP for example. Do you, cause like when I listen to that song, I get a feeling of like nostalgia. Cause it's like, I used to listen to that like when I was younger and it's just like nostalgic for me. Like, how do you feel when you listen to it?
Man, probably pride. Like in seeing, like when I was going back talking about how each song is like a kid, it's like, imagine seeing your kid like doing really well and like, you know, graduating college and got a great job. And it's like, that's what it feels like. It's like the music is living on its own and it's doing its thing. And it's like people have an attachment to it. That's why we do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, money is something that comes, but like you do it for so long without that because there's another purpose. There's another reason why you're doing it. And so an extreme sense of pride when I hear not just the song, but how people have connected to it. So like when you said like, oh man, I feel nostalgic because I had a moment with that song, or like what it makes me think of is how it bridges generations, because I've seen too many TikTok videos where it's like a grandmother and a grandchild doing the dance at the same time, and it's like, what is that? Like, when does that happen? Right,
dude. I was talking to my mom. I was like, yeah, we're interviewing Jay Dash tomorrow, and she's like, what, the WAP guy? And she knew the song. I'm like, dude,
what? That's what I'm talking about.
It's like, I didn't know you were like that, mom. It's so funny. But yeah, man, that's
should have
cool.
been on the show. Shout out to mom.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we'll get her on, man, sometime. Well, first she was first she was nervous that I was interviewing Cardi B, and so I told her no,
which is awesome too.
That's cool too, but I don't think she's a fan of that one as much as yours. Which, yeah, were you ever like concerned that people were gonna like that was gonna take streams away from your song? Like, because it's like it sounds the same but spelled different. Like,
nah,
you're not concerned.
The fact
about
that
it.
First of all, the fact that she said WAP at the end of the song, I got more streams. There was like a whole podcast on WAP
versus that too.
WAP.
Yeah.
After that, there was like anytime it gets people talking about it, like right. it only gets more streams for me. So Cardi said WAP in the song, even though it was for her version, I still got more streams. When Kendrick dropped Not Like Us and he said WAP.
Dude,
WAP,
that's so true.
I got more streams. Like, so it's like usually anytime it comes up, like it goes crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they're like, you were probably an inspiration to them. Like, I mean, to think about that, like, yeah, Kendrick was just performing at the Super Bowl and he was low key singing your song. Like, he low key sampled, you know what I mean?
I don't know if I'm going to go that far to say I inspired that, but, you know, it's always cool to hear. Even if it is not intentional, I'm just like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds the exact same, bro. I'm surprised he didn't get a copyright strike for it.
No, never that. Always push the culture forward, so I'm always about that.
Oh yeah, I'm just playing, man. But
speaking of the copyright stuff, would we be able to use like a snip of WAP for our intro to the podcast today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Awesome.
Permission granted.
All right.
Yeah, because you don't have like a, you're not like a label or anything, right? Yeah, no, but your own, like you're independent, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so much nicer.
That was a smart move too, because so many people are getting screwed probably by their label.
You know, if I would have had the right paperwork put in front of me at that time, I would probably be screwed too, right?
Right.
But you know, I just didn't have the same opportunities. Luckily, I was like pushing music out at the time. It's a timing thing. Like when I had the ability to get my music out with art. Without large label capital, right? Because before, like, how else would you do that? How else would you distribute your music to the world before there was like a SoundCloud and before there was a YouTube? Like, what would you do? You would have to have money to do all that. So when you're broke, you ain't got the budget for that, but you have something that's like, oh yeah, everybody's eyes are on this thing. So that's why TikTok is so hot right now. Everybody's eyes are there. Yeah. As soon as the eyes move to something else, that's where music goes.
Yeah. And it's just about the grind too. Like that's why you popped off, because you were on the grind. Because like they say, if you grind every day and you don't miss a day, one day you're gonna get lucky. And that's kind of what happens. Because I mean, you had the first video blow up 500,000 views, and because you were grinding like every day on it.
Yeah, and you don't talk about all the other songs that you released the same way that didn't pop. Like, it only takes one.
Yep.
So, you know, you only got to be right once, you know? So, you know, luckily that happened. Hopefully I can continue to catch those lucky moments.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, just the music industry as a whole, like, today? Like, I hear a lot of artists talking about, I mean, we kind of touched on this, but, like, the labels kind of taking advantage of them. And I don't know. We don't have to dive into it, but I just want to get your opinion. Like, do you think there's some things that need to change as far as the music industry goes?
I think the changes are already happening, whether I say it or not. Like, the artists are going more independent. They're realizing the power that they have. The tooling is getting better. So now you can really manage your career a lot better without needing a label. You can start to build your fan base on your own. You can own all the things that you need to own. So, like, you know, the changes are already being made. The things that I would have had a gripe with like 20 years ago, it's not an issue anymore, right? Like, there's no excuse now. There's absolutely no excuse. And it doesn't matter if you're an artist, a producer, a podcaster. Like, there's so many ways to get your stuff out, to make money. It's not just selling ads. Like, as a producer, you can release instrumental albums, right? And then go around and sell that same music to artists and double up. And then put that same music on TV. And it's just, the possibilities are endless. You just got to have the information and then do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. No excuses. Do it.
None, dog. Like, the thing is, if you focus on walls or roadblocks, guess all the only thing you're going to see is walls and roadblocks.
Dang. Yeah.
Right. But if you focus on like the success, if you focus on the win, all you see is the win. Like, nothing else gets in the way. Yeah. So it's really about what you're looking at.
Yeah. J-Dash 2025. We got to put that on a shirt.
Let's go.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be tough, dude. Did you ever come out with any merch? I'm sorry I don't know this, by the way. Like, I don't own a J-Dash shirt.
I had, like, local versions of merch. Like, I would sell at shows. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so we had J-Dash swag and shirts and stuff like that. But you know what? You bring a good point. Like, I should probably do some digital merch one of these days. I'll put some out there inspired by J-O-B.
Let's do it. We'll collab on it.
Dude.
All right. I got a crazy question. Who is the most famous person in your contacts on your phone, or like someone you keep in touch with on like a regular basis? Like, who's the most famous person that you say like Merry Christmas to?
Famous person I say Merry Christmas to. Probably Payne. I could reach out to Payne. You know, I'm doing a show with Payne in a month and a half from now.
So where?
That's my guy. It's in Jacksonville.
Dude, let's pull up.
John Cash.
I'm done.
Probably Rook from the Justice League. I don't know if you know Justice League. Amazing producers. They did a lot of Rick Ross, Lil Wayne. A lot of NFL players, so a lot of cats I went to school with ended up joining the league. And so met a lot of NFL players because I was a roommate of an NFL player for like a few years. I went to a Super Bowl, which was crazy because he joined the Broncos the year that they played the Seahawks, and they lost, which was like the saddest after party you'll ever go to is like the losing team of a Super Bowl.
They still had the after party?
Oh, yeah. Like, people were in there crying. Families are crying. And I'm just, like, having the time of my life because the Roots is playing on stage. And it's just, like, me and the Roots in some, like, conference center at a hotel. I'm like, it's the greatest day of my life.
Dang, dude. But they're not playing WAP at the after party because it's just
They didn't play WAP at that after party. No.
If they would have won, probably, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, that would have happened for sure.
That was a cool story, dude. I'm sure you got tons of cool stories, too. Like,
oh my God.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Man, life has been great.
Yeah,
you know, and even when it isn't, you know, you always try to find something like that comes out of it that's good, right?
Yeah.
So, short story: I lost my sister in October. She passed away unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm sorry. And so, man.
Coming out of that, I was like, man, I don't really know kind of what to do or how to like really process this. Her name was Twyla. And so I'm in Austin. I'm on the board of a performing arts center called the Long Center out here in Austin, Texas. And so I was like, man, I don't know what to do to kind of honor my sister. Well, we have the world's first 3D printed stage at the Long Center, right? And so I was like, well, yo, wouldn't it be dope if we like shot some content with artists on like the world's first 3D printed stage? And that idea exploded. And so now we've got like, we're working on a tiny desk color studio competitor in Austin on the world's first 3D printed stage. And it's a series. I have a list of 23 artists that are lined up right now. And it's like, dude, it's going crazy. And the series is called Twilight Zone in honor of my sister. So
that's so cool, man. Dude, what? Wait, that's going to go crazy, man. Like, so how do we stay tuned?
Oh, dude. So Twilight Zone Official on Instagram. We already dropped the teaser. And yeah, just tap in. Stay tuned. We're gonna be on YouTube, TikTok, all that. The team has already grown, so now I'm super excited, man. So we're on the sponsorship run. Shout out to Sound Productions. Shout out to Sound Productions, who is our first official sponsor. And more sponsors are signing up now. I just can't say it yet, but I'm really excited for what we're building.
That's awesome.
Wow, man! I can't wait to see where that goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you 3D print a stage.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. So shout out to Icon, the same company. They 3D print homes. So they have like a whole neighborhood out here in Texas where they 3D printed every house. And they wanted to test out, like, can we do these specific architectural shapes and all this other stuff? And so they said, can we 3D print a pavilion for you at the Long Center? Like, heck yeah. So that's how we got the world's first 3D printed stage. We just had Willie Nelson out on the stage. Oh, so like,
wow. Dang,
Uncle
dude.
Willie came out.
Yeah, it was really dope, man. Yeah, I saw him live and like it was surprisingly pretty hype, you know? He's like 90, yeah, he's like 100 years old or something.
Dude, he's got to be at least 160, 170 by now. he's killing
it. He's a Yoda. Dang, dude. Yeah. So you guys, so basically it's gonna be kind of like live performances, and you said like Tiny Desk, right?
Yeah. So like focusing on really uplifting artists, creating viral moments, using the opportunity to give back to the schools and the community here, because basically it's like, I don't want to have to rely on the federal government. I want to be able to affect the area that I'm in. So, you know, pouring as much as I can into the education and the arts here where I am. And then back in my hometown as well.
I love that, man. I love that you're doing like that stuff. Like, I feel like a lot of artists, I don't know, like they'll have like a moment, you know, and then they just kind of like collapse after that, you know? And it's like, I don't know, like the Island Boys, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are they doing, dude?
I don't even compare these two, yeah.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just saying like they were like a sensation for a while and then they got caught making out. Like, what are you doing? Like, go help some kids, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't know. Life is short, man. So I'm just trying to do everything I can before I get up out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I love it, dude.
I want to have all the experiences, dog. Like, there's too much to see. I love traveling. So there's too much to see in the world. Too many people to meet that are doing amazing things that are inspiring. And that's what, like, gives me life. It's like talking to new people and seeing what they got going on, because you know, everybody has something they have to offer, right? Like, it doesn't matter what they do or where they're at. Like, when you hear people's story, like, you can be inspired in so many different ways. So, like, man, it's so much to collect before you check up out of here. So that's my goal.
Yeah, that's something I'm trying to work on right now. It's like, and starting the podcast helps with that. Like, if you really listen to everybody, like so many people just want to talk, right? And like I've been there too. It's like I want to just talk, but if you really listen, dude, you can learn something from everybody. For sure, you know, and like that's what's cool about this podcast is like it's focused on listening, and you know, So yeah, that's cool. And if you have to go, so I know you said you got a conflict, so we can get you out of here whenever. I was just gonna ask like a cool spot you've been recently that you really like travel wise.
Ooh, it's a great question. A cool spot that I have been to recently, Barcelona, Spain. Is amazing. And it wasn't just because of, because it's Spain. It's cool. It's good shopping there. It was a good time. Took the family. It was great. But the architecture is breathtaking. So if you ever go to La Sagrada Familia. It is like a church, but the way it's architected, it like scratches all the nerd itches in my brain because there's like calculus all over the place, but it's like super big and empty and bare. I had a moment. So definitely go check out La Sagrada Familia. It was cool.
That sounds cool. Bro, like it's so cool. Like you really are like Batman of like the rap industry and the computer software industry.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like
it's a crazy collab because like we never see those together.
No. No, dude. You've got to be like the only computer engineer that's like rapping and producing too, dude. Like it's so cool. You got to make a movie about it.
You'd be surprised. Like a lot of computer engineers play music, like they play instruments. I spoke at a React Conf, which is like Meta's developer conference, about like the ties between tech and music and how they're basically the same thing. And the first thing I asked was like, how many people in here play music? Like 80% of people raised their hand in the building. I was just like, there it is. Like this is gonna be easy. Like I didn't even have to guess. Like it's so much like the same thing. So to me, it makes sense. To other people, it's like, that's a weird combination. And I'm like, it's not as weird as you think.
Yeah, which is more proof to why they need to start funding music education, because it makes smart people, dude. Yeah.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Ooh, that's a shirt. Music makes smart people.
Oh, dang. We're just whipping them out today, man.
Got to put that on.
That's cool.
All right. I got one. Whenever like WAP really blew up or you blew up, you're like being successful and everything. Did you ever like buy anything that like you had always wanted your whole life? You know, was there like that Rolex that was kind of like, dang, I made it. I'm going to go buy this, or like a sports car, supercar, bigger house. Like what was that item for you if you had one?
You know, that is a great question. The most expensive things that I own are probably gear, like music gear. That's probably back here. So yeah. I didn't go buy anything crazy, because first of all, my father, you know, God rest his soul, who passed away, he was a financial advisor. And so, you know,
smart.
I was very much like, I gotta live within my means. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's very easy in that industry to be like, hey man, you got this cash, flaunt it. But what's crazier to me is like whenever you reach a certain milestone, like I didn't want to spend money to show that I had reached that mile. Like I wanted different things when I got there, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas when I started on that journey, I'm like, yo, all I want is a chain, right? And then when you get to the point to where you can afford the chain, you're like, why would I get the chain when I can just invest in these artists or buy this stock and it's going to grow or whatever? Like you stop caring. And then the thing that you wanted, which was like positive attention, is really what it comes down to. Like you're looking for positive attention. You don't really need those things to get it,
mm-hmm.
right? You can just shine. You can just be you and shine. And so I didn't necessarily need a whole bunch of stuff. Like I got the things that worked for my lifestyle and I was comfortable with. And then I just kept doing the stuff I love, which is probably why you don't see me a lot like out, because I'm super low key. Like I'm good with being at the crib.
I mean, you're Batman.
Around my people. I'm Batman. I gotta stay low key.
Dude, the Batcave looks nice too behind you. I like that setup.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Yeah, it took a minute, but it's I love it. Works for me.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Super humble, man. Yeah, and shout out to the Pops, man, financial advisor. That probably instilled a lot of good qualities in you, though, which I can see, which is cool. You know, because a lot of people get to like make money, like you're saying, and then they just spend it all and it's like, okay, what do we do? You know? So
yeah. And then like spending your money before you have it, because you're spending borrowed money as an artist. A lot of times when you get a signing bonus, you got to pay all that money back. You know, you're supposed to use that money to make a record and stuff like that. So a lot of artists, like, they'll spend their advance, like, just living, and then they got to go make an album. And then the label is actually collecting all the expenses back before you're able to, like, actually get paid. So if you're not independent, like, it becomes a problem.
Right? Oh, wow.
That's when you get all these artists that are complaining, like, I've never seen a dime from my record. It's like, yeah, it's because you spent $500,000 on a music video. Or, you know what I mean? Like, and they're just constantly introducing expenses that they're charging you for, and you're never actually making money. Even if your deal is like an 84-16, where you're supposed to get 16% of the record, that's after they pay back all their expenses, which they keep spending. So artists usually never see any money from their records.
Is that the typical format, at 84-16?
Sometimes. It's usually somewhere around there. Like, that's what it used to be.
Wow.
Now there are a lot of, they're doing like distribution deals now. So now it's flipped the other way, where the artist keeps like 80, and then the label will just distribute your record for like 20% or something like that. Mm. I think Sony Orchard has like some deals like that. And like, there's some other labels that are leaning into that more, just because there's too many tools out there now. Like, you don't really need a label for the same things that you used to. But labels still have connections to do bigger things. Like, they're going to get you on TV, and they're going to do all this other stuff. So, you know, and if they can't do that, like, don't sign with that label, right? Because why give up the majority of your art to not really get a platform out of it? So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to, like, evolve, you know, the music industry, and probably see more independent artists, and it's just going to be interesting.
Let's just kind of get a glimpse of future goals real quick. Just J-Dash, what are your future goals with music creation or producing or your company or even the philanthropy side?
Man, that's a great question. My future goals, just for myself in general, are to continue to make art that I feel truthful, that I'm telling the right story, that I'm passionate about, that's fun, and see new things, meet new people. That's always my goal. Like, I can attach a goal to, you know, a specific task that I'm doing, like launching Twilight Zone, or, you know, launching artists on large television networks. That's going to happen this year. But, you know, once that's reached, what else? And so for me, it's about like the long haul of like, man, just do stuff that you're passionate about. Leave a good mark, leave a good impression on people, you know, help people along the way where you can, and take care of your family. That's it.
That's good advice.
That's great advice, man.
Yeah. And those are good goals, too. And it's kind of like a one day at a time thing, you know? Like, you're going to come up with more, and yeah.
That's it, man. Shout out to Tom from MySpace. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember MySpace, but the guy that started it, he, like, sold MySpace, like, social media company for, like, $500 million, and then just disappeared. He, like, just takes pictures, and he lives his life, and he travels, and it's like, that's the dream.
But we gotta get Tom on.
Man, get Tom. Get Tom from MySpace. He lived it out.
That's awesome.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say before we cut it, J-Dash?
Hey, man. Y'all follow me on everything. The real J-Dash on everything. Make sure you follow Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone Official. Pretty much on everything. And like, stay tuned. Happy to connect.
And pull up in Jacksonville.
Come on.
Oh, let's go, man. Yeah, sorry about my overalls as well, man. A lot of people were saying they look kind of stupid, but...
Nah, man, they're dope. I'm trying to give me some.
Oh, bro, thank you. I'm going to start...
That's awesome.
Next time somebody hates, man, J-Dash likes my overalls, bro. Just stop hating, straight up.
Haters everywhere.
Man,
appreciate y'all for having me, bro. This is another J-Dash production.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.